Blog Talk Radio.
One bleeds red and one bleeds blue. Two friends, one heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time. On Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
I just want to start the show tonight in thanking all of the Red vs. Blue faithful for all of the donated phones. They came in every day. My wife would come out and be like, hey, you got another phone. And somehow or another, it's just the love and support that we get from all of the faithful, the crew here at Red vs. Blue. Thank you so much. Mikey, everybody wants to know which of the phones that we sent you out of that big box, which one did you pick out, and what are you using right now?
I'm using the Galaxy. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Thank goodness.
Using the Galaxy. What do you think about man, now what you have in the palm of your hands can just do so many things. Well, let's this is a clean show, but it can be a flashlight, it can be a ruler, it can be a level, it can be a barcode scanner, it can surf the web, it can do all kind of calendar for you. It can do so many things for you, Mike. But the one thing it needs to do for you is to be a phone. And hopefully, the fans of Red vs. Blue that came through for you.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, you know, it's kind of frustrating. I'm an old school guy, and, you know, I kept with the old school phone for forever, and so I went ahead and got this phone, and I still don't know it. I hope it makes it through the show.
Mobile app startup, Mike, I sent you a good one, so no more payphone, buddy. So hello, everybody, and welcome to Red vs. Blue Friday Night Football, wherever you may be. Thanks for making us part of your night. I'm Scott Atkins, team legacy in the world of high-stakes fantasy football. We've got a lot to get to. Mike, are you got me on speakerphone or something now? I'm hearing myself. You have the computer on the Red vs. Blue show. Mike? Okay. All right, so Mike, Mike's up to his old antics. Here's what we're going to do, gang. We've got a lot to cover. This show is brought to you by FFToolbox.com. Thanks to those good guys at FF Toolbox for making Red vs. Blue a part of the program. You got to check out FFToolbox.com for, pretty much the world-famous cheat sheet rankings. Over 100 websites participated and battled for the 2012 title of most accurate, and only one finished on top, FFToolbox.com, the rankings you can trust. You can check them out there. The other thing that I find real compelling on FF Toolbox, if you go to the Fantasy Football Tools, there is a couple of things I'll direct you to. There's a high-stakes average draft position, very useful tool. I don't think there's a lot of these out there that break down the high-stakes ADP, where the guys are drafting them in real money drafts. And look, a lot of times when you're looking at ADP, you're not looking at current information, and you're not looking at information that's actual completed drafts. A lot of people go on auto pick. You start to see some stuff. That ADP that you're looking at is where guys that are spending big-time money on their fantasy drafts, where they're drafting their players. So it shows you that Adrian Peterson is one, Doug Martin is two, and Calvin Johnson is three, Jamal Charles four. Some names that might surprise you, but from the high stakes community, for the most part, they're out for blood and they're going for the big names. You'll also find on FF Toolbox something that is catching the fantasy world by storm. It's the mock draft simulator, powered by Fantasy Pros. We love this tool so much that we said, hey, you know what? Let's get the early draft slots out today on Wednesday for the Fantasy Football World Championship. Everybody got their draft slots. You now know in the World Championship where you're going to be drafting from, whether it be in Vegas or online. You now know what draft position you have if you have your team paid for in full. in addition to that, you can start mocking and practicing from that draft slot. Just open up the mock draft simulator, and in minutes, you can start drafting and have a team and just start to really analyze what's the best strategy to go about it. Running back heavy, running back wide receiver mix, maybe foregoing the wide receiver running backs and taking wide receivers. So the simulator allows you to do that. And then there's going to be a really cool game coming out. Maybe as early as tomorrow, the Mock Draft World Championship begins. Like for $5, you could enter the Mock Draft World Championship. And lots of cool stuff there. But basically, if you're a fantasy fan, you're going to want to enter this and probably enter it multiple times, because at the end of the day, this contest, the way it works is you mock. If you like your team, you can enter it. Mock till you're happy, baby. Draft till you're happy. That's what the Mock Draft World Championship is all about. And I'm done rambling about toolbox. What's going on in your world, Mike? Did we lose Mike? You're kidding, right? Hold on, Mike. Wait. You're back. Can you hear me now? Mike Trent. Hello, Mike. Okay, Fantasy Assassins is in the chat room. Get paddled. Welcome. Hawk and Roll. Ian Ritchie is with us. Henry Muto, LSU Fanatic, Mobile App Startup, Urinal Mint, and Wayne Ellis. Thank you guys for coming out. Mike is apparently having phone problems again. Let's just go ahead and get the buzz meter going. Hi, Fantasy Assassins. The Cruises are in the chat room as well. It's a good night when we have the Cruise family here in the chat room. Here's what I did. I just put a link to the Tuesday night draft and go. We have this draft. We're going to take a look at it tonight. Look at it from a high stakes perspective. All the different dynamics that we have of the draft. These drafts are powered by My Fantasy League, the award-winning software from MyFantasyLeague.com. They have a really cool color-coded draft board that you can check out and watch the draft live as it happens. You will notice running back heavy, right, in the first round. That's what we're seeing a lot of this year. Jimmy Graham did go in the first round of this draft, as well as Calvin Johnson and Dez Bryant at 12, but for the most part, 9 running backs. And if you look there at the very back end of the first round, Matt Forte was taken at 111. So very interesting to see that Matt Forte is being drafted at that level. What happens when you don't take a running back early? Look, at the end of the draft there, Dez Bryant was taken at 112. You still get Marshawn Lynch. So that's not a bad consolation prize, considering Marshawn Lynch is a top 5 running back with the way he's been running the ball. Now, will he catch the ball as much as he needs to compete? Obviously, the touchdowns have been powering the way for Marshawn Lynch for quite some time. And last year, definitely a presence on the field. Inside the red zone. But in PPR leagues, it is nice to have those backs that catch the ball, the Arian Fosters, the Trent Richardsons, the Ray Rices, LeSean McCoys, the C.J. Spillers, Charleses, Martins, Fortes, you know, pretty much your first round. Very heavy in the receptions for those running backs. Let's see if we have Mike back on here, because here I am rambling, and Mike is gone again. I saw him in the chat room pop in, and now he's gone. That is red versus blue tonight. So, hey, it looks like I'm flying solo, which I don't mind. Let's go ahead and keep that draft board up. We're going to talk a little bit about the draft that happened on Tuesday night, and we're also going to talk about some fantasy news. And I think the big story on everybody's mind is Percy Harvin. And, you know, it's a very troubling situation for people who have drafted Percy Harvin in dynasty leagues. Obviously, if you're just now starting looking at fantasy football, you haven't drafted, so not a big deal. It's a situation that you want to watch. But Pete Carroll did come out and say Percy Harvin is out for the season if he needs surgery. That hip surgery for a torn labrum, a partially torn labrum. If you have hip surgery, he said it's a lot longer than the season. Hip surgery, he's not going to play for the season, and that is very difficult to hear if you're a Seahawks fan. What does that mean? To me, it means you have Sidney Rice, you have Golden Tate, you have the exact same team you had last year that made a very deep run that looked like one, if not the most dominant team in there, if it weren't for a hot Atlanta team at home. So, look, that team is in good shape. even if Percy Harvin, we wish him the best. Mike Trent is still trying to get back. Mike, you're using the new Galaxy, and you're already having problems and just causing me a fit. What's going on, man?
Man, I'm going to try to give you a break here, man. I don't know. I mean, I don't know about these new phones and all this stuff, but, you know, I have no idea what you just said. I just caught the very last bit of it, but there's a lot of good stuff that's going to happen here, and can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, man. I don't understand. Here, for everybody at home last week, Mike's phone was causing him fits. It was so annoying. It was so loud. Every time he tried to talk, it was like a loud reverb, like just a real nasty sound that would come out, and it was causing people to just want to turn it or change the channel. And we got so much hate mail, Mike. I mean, I don't know how much hate mail. I let Aaron read it. The kids, they were crying when they were reading it. And then the Red vs. Blue faithful, they do the nice thing. We've got Mobile App Startup in the chat room. He sends you a phone. We get five other phones this week, all ready to go. You're sitting there with a Galaxy phone, man. It doesn't get any better than Galaxy,
yeah.
And you still
yeah.
are having
yeah.
problems.
I'm still having problems. And furthermore, I'm holding it to my ear. I'm used to just setting it down and being able to get on my laptop and do the things I need to do, but I'm holding it to my ear so we can keep this Red versus Blue going on. So what's going on?
All right. Well, we are talking about Percy Harvin.
Well, he's not going to last.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, man. You know, look, torn labrum already. And this is an issue. At the same time, I don't know if a lot of people knew this or not, but yesterday, and I was kind of on top of it on Twitter, but at the same time that the Harvin news was breaking, A.J. Green was down on the ground for like 10 minutes, and he was just late. You know, they didn't know what was wrong. It turns out that he is fine after tweaking his knee, but it gave us a scare. Unfortunately, it was only a scare, but he went down on Thursday's practice. He stayed down for a couple of minutes. He did walk away from his own power. And they did have an MRI on the left knee, revealed no structural damage. This is a very tense time for football. As soon as training camps happen, everybody starts coming alive. If on the website right now, there's literally hundreds of people sitting here as I'm watching on FF Toolbox Analytics. There's hundreds of people on the site right now, and it's 9 o'clock on a Friday night. You'd think there'd be other things to do, but instead, people want to know what's going on in fantasy. And you start hearing about no-shows, like Mike Goodson is a no-show in camp, and Chris Ivory's already out with hamstring soreness, and every single story that you hear, how much faith do you put in this stuff that you hear right now?
Well, right now, you know, I put a lot of stock into the good things, not necessarily the bad things. For instance, Dez Bryant, Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I'm hearing nothing but good stuff out of this guy. I mean, he could be really, you know, he could be climbing up the draft boards big time. I know there's going to be a lot of wide receivers that are going to be huge, but this guy could be something else. At this stage of the game, the ones that you hear the bad about, those are the ones that you might want to stay away from because, you know, it's, July 26th, and it's about time. It's about time for these guys to be ready, or if they're not ready, then a month from now, they're not going to be there.
There's a lot going on in the world here of the training camps and the National Football League around. I mean, look, we hear a story about Ravens wide receiver Deontay Thompson, that he's looking fast and confident, that he is showcasing his speed. He looks like he's gelling with Joe Flacco, and you don't have a wide receiver two there now that Bolden is gone. So you're trying to look and read through and sift through the stories like Deontay Thompson. He never did much on the field at Florida. He had 38 receptions as a junior. It was his best year, but he was a track star, and he ran a sub-4.340 at his pro day. So he got real speed, and Caldwell says that's he's not just all speed. A lot of track guys are. He's a good route runner, and he's tough. He's a very deep, deep sleeper. And he might be one of those guys that we like to call stash and cash, Mike. And the 20th round, your last
right.
pick, somebody that you could just take a flyer on, let him sit there and see what happens. Torrey Smith is pretty much a one-trick pony, right? I mean, don't we all agree? Or does he have more game there? He seems to me like sort of like a Mike Wallace. Like, you know what you're getting from him. He's a deep ball guy, but if you're expecting a lot more from him, you're probably going to be let down. These types of stories start coming out, and you're like, okay, well, who's going to be my stash and cash in round 20? That's kind of what's on my mind tonight.
Okay, well, first off, if you take the Baltimore Ravens, take them for the example like you're laying out. They'll be lucky to win 8-9 games. Say they win 9. Say they go 9-7. Most of their wins will be via the ground game. I don't see a lot coming from the passing game. They're reconstructing what they're doing. So if they go 9-7, then it's going to be mostly on the ground game, but I see them as an 8-18.
Mike, you know, I think everybody's giving Flacco a little bit of a hard time. I mean, obviously the jokes were throughout the offseason talking about he's elite, what have you. You know, 3,800 yards, 22 touchdowns, that's not elite, right? Especially with the quarterbacks today that are throwing for 4,000 and 25, you know. But he is a growing quarterback. And fresh off of a Super Bowl win, the thing that I like to think about with the Ravens is opportunity, because if you lose that kind of a defensive, you know, the defensive presence in Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, among others, on that defense, and you're totally rebuilding the defense, what's that usually mean, Mike? Usually means you're going to be playing from behind. And if the Ravens are playing from behind, Joe Flacco's throwing the ball. You're not running Ray Rice Ray Rice might be catching dumpers. It's not an indictment no bad news against Ray Rice. He's still going to be involved through the little dumpers and everything. But that means Flacco's going to be asked to throw. So I think people are a little bit down on Flacco for really no reason. Yes, they're going to be worse as a team, but fantasy-wise, I think Flacco improves on last year. And 4,100 yards and 25 touchdowns would not surprise me from Joe Flacco.
You know what? I kind of disagree with you, Scott. It's not that they're going to be playing from behind all the time. They're going to play the game between the 20s. It's going to be it's going to be a slow type of game. They're going to do everything they can to use Ray Rice and those other backs. I mean, there's going to be a lot of things going on. It's not that they're like wanting to win. They're just going to try to use their defense and everything else involved to try not to lose, if that makes sense.
Well, we'll see. Look, there's a lot of fun stuff in the chat room right now. The crew at Red vs. Blue keeping everybody entertained. There's just so much news here. I don't know where to really start, Mike. It's coming from all over. Chiefs wide receiver Dwayne Bowe placed on the non-football illness list. Is that a story? Not really. Non-football
Not
illness?
Really.
What is that?
What about
you got the flu?
I don't know.
You got the flu, right? You're on the non-football illness list. Why do you even need a list for that? Chris Ivory out with hamstring soreness. Now, this kind of story actually means something
That's
to me, Mike,
big.
Because yeah, what it means to me, you know, and I think to most people, and I'll let you chime in, but what it means to me is he can't shake this label. No matter, they bring him in, they don't pay him a lot of money. He basically takes a deal that was similar to some of the other running backs that the Jets have signed recently. But we're starting to think, and we're starting to build him up a little bit that, hey, he's got a lot of potential. And Sean Green was the 15th best back in New York or in the league last year with the Jets, and he's terrible. And Ivory's better than that, a good career yards per carry, but now he can't shake this injury label.
Yeah. You know, that kind of bugs me. Chris Ivory has a possibility of being a top 10 running back. And, you know, everybody in the chat room can call me wrong. They can say, well, man, he's crazy. But, no, I'm serious. Chris Ivory has the ability to be a top 10 running back, fantasy points-wise, all across the board. If he's healthy, if he does the right thing. I mean, he's in a perfect situation right there in New York. New York is a bad team. They're a really bad team. But here's a chance for him to say, to break out and say, I'm the guy.
Yeah. And it's not getting off to a good start. We have to keep as Jets fans, I have to stay optimistic because there is no other option here. It's not Joe McKnight. It's probably not Mike Goodson.
No.
I'm really hoping Ivory can turn it around and maybe get Geno Smith in there earlier before, you know, because we know what we have with Sanchez. Let's go with the unknown. I mean, that's more fun to me. Let's go with the unknown. I would rather, to be honest with you, I would rather the Jets just tank the season, you know, and tank the draft and not drafted a quarterback and you know, and grab Geno. I would have rather them just said, you know what, let's be dead last and get Teddy Bridgewater. Still might happen, right? Still might happen. We might end up with Teddy Bridgewater next year because, you know, Geno Smith did fall in the draft. It's not like we paid a ton. Sean Payton, head coach of the Saints, has high expectations for Mark Ingram. Now, that's the tag. That's the headline, right? I read it. I was trying to sound interesting. But at the end of the day, don't you have high expectations for everybody, right? When we look at this situation, Mike, you've got Darren Sproles being the number one draft running back taken. And if you look at the draft board that we just put in there, Darren Sproles continually goes in the second or the early third, right? If you look at the high stakes ADP, you'll see that.
And he should.
And he should, right? We know what he's going to do. Then you have the Pierre Thomas and the Mark Ingram. And to be honest with you, I'm not so sure that Mark Ingram is going to outperform Pierre Thomas.
That wouldn't surprise me one bit, Scott. I mean, you know, both those are pretty much right there together. And, you know, I see Darren Sproles being the bat that you have to rely on if you need to draft him. I mean, you know, he's going in, what, 3-3, pretty much. So, you know, it's tough to figure out. But I wouldn't Ingram, I like Ingram.
Yeah, you're in a minute. You see Ivory spent the day on the bicycle today. Mobile app startup Scott Ingram is a bust. Sorry. Look, I think Pierre Thomas is the missing, the kind of the hidden story here. When Sean Payton was head coach in 2011, Pierre Thomas caught 50 balls, and he rushed for 5 touchdowns only on 110 carries. Now, you bring in Mark Ingram, and last year, again, look, it was just a total mess for the Saints. Pierre Thomas, again, stayed healthy, 15 games he played, and he caught 39 balls. Now, he just needs a little bit more work out of the backfield. So if he can get up to that 150 carry mark, this guy could be really dangerous for fantasy owners, especially in the event of an injury. If something happens to Sproles, I mean, it's a very good opportunity. You can do a lot worse taking a guy like Darren's like Pierre Thomas. Where did he go in this draft? Let's take a look for the green box here. Pierre Thomas. Do you see him on here? Did he get drafted? Pierre Thomas? He had to be drafted right?
He did. Round 11th.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just tells you, Scott. I mean, that just tells you that, you know, if Sproles goes down, then, man, Pierre Thomas becomes a beast.
Well, I tell you, here's what it says to me. The Vigilantes drafted him, right, out of the 6-hole, and they had went wide receiver heavy. Calvin Johnson, Roddy White, Reggie Wayne, 3 of the first 4 picks. They did get an anchor in Alfred Morris, right? Alfred Morris is the anchor. But through 7 rounds, they only have 1 running back. In this format, the FFWC, the World Championships, you have to make sure that you're catering to your strengths, and you have to start an 11-man lineup. So you can start up to 5 wide receivers. He wasn't going to chase running backs. He was going to make his strength stronger. So Roddy White is his 2, Reggie Wayne is his 3, Antonio Brown is his 4. He's in good shape. Robert Griffin, Andy Dalton back-to-back like that. Daryl Richardson taking a flyer on one of the St. Louis guys. Danny Woodhead, another guy. I like this strategy, Mike. This has been around for years. Since about year 2 when I first tried it and won my league in the World Championship, I rotated. I took a running back early, and then I just pounded away at those wide receivers. And then you get backs like Richardson, Woodhead, Pierre Thomas, and you rotate the heck out of those guys all year long. All year long, you're just rotating in RB2, trying to find the matchup for that RB2 each week. It works.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you this, Scott. Does it really work? I mean, when you really think about it as running backs, Alfred Morris, and then, like I said, Daryl, and move on down the line, Danny Woodhead, Pierre Thomas. I mean,
yep.
Does that guy feel good about his starting lineup every week?
Well, okay, RB2 is the question, right? If Darryl Richardson is a starter, you're probably, I mean, look, you're hoping to get 10 points out of him week one because he's a total unknown. You probably don't start Danny Woodhead because Ryan Matthews, but I do know of a lot of people, some of the whispers that I'm hearing in the high-stakes world, Danny Woodhead's starting to become a guy that said that people are saying, hey, he's the guy that's going to make that San Diego offense tick, not Ryan Matthews. Pierre Thomas is that type of guy that I'm looking for that can be a contributor every single week, right? Maybe not a star because of it's a crowded
right.
backfield, but a contributor because he does catch the ball, he does sometimes get red zone, and he does carry the ball. He does a little bit of everything. So it's just a guy like that that I kind of like to use in an RB2 situation if I'm rotating guys out. So he's got a great tight end. He's got four really good starting wide receivers there all the way through Antonio Brown as a four. If he needs to start five, unfortunately, in this format, or a second tight end. That's the problem. He probably should have taken another skill position in the seventh round. If you're going to wait on running backs that long, round, you're spending it on a quarterback. Okay, well, don't take another quarterback so early, right? There's still some good players
right.
there. I would have taken – oh, he just missed on – no, he could have taken Denarius Moore instead of Andy Dalton. To me, that's just a mistake. I would love to take a Denarius Moore there instead of an Andy Dalton and then come back maybe in the 10th and get Eli Manning. I mean, really? Is there a difference? Eli could outperform Andy Dalton any day, you know, any week.
Yeah.
So, hindsight 2020, look, I'm no expert here. Well, you know, I mean, I've won some cash, but look –
It's a good draft. I mean, he did he fit whatever he thought that was going to happen. So it might fit.
Yeah, and Fantasy Assassin says it in the chat room. Did he stop one wide receiver short? Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely what he did. If you're gonna play the RB2 waiting game, you know that's going to happen, right? So sacrifice that. Don't try to make up for it now. In the middle of the draft when you're panicking, don't try to make up for it. Matter of fact, I probably wouldn't have even taken Darryl Richardson unless I really, really believed in him. Denario Alexander, Miles Austin, Lance Moore, he could have had any of those guys in the eighth round, and now he's put his hand, he's lying in the sand, he's starting five wide receivers. You're fine now. Now you're already relegated to playing that RB, rotating that RB2 role all year. You didn't change that when you took Darryl Richardson, right? Unless you think he's the next star, right?
Right.
But I don't think we do.
Right.
He's not the next Jamaal Charles. He could have had five wide receivers strong with a Tony Gonzalez, with a Robert Griffin. Now I'm thinking to myself, hey, this guy can start five wide receivers all day long. Maybe even take a sixth one, right? Take a sixth one like that Denarius Moore instead of that Andy Dalton pick. Now he has a bye week filler so he can start six wide receivers. This is all about team construction, man. I'm telling you, when you're on the clock and you're looking, you start to panic about your RB2. But the bottom line is that's under the bridge. That's water over the bridge, whatever it's called, right? You can't do anything about that. You've already punted the RB2 position. So you either have to secure that with a complete flyer late in the draft, a waiver wire gem in the year. You have to make your strength stronger. Five wide receivers. Cover it during even the bye weeks. Make sure you have – he's already got his tight end and quarterback. It's not panicking when you're on the clock.
You know what? I'm taking a look at the team right next to him. Craig Rubenstein, you know, it's really interesting. Goes
okay.
Running back, wide receiver, you know, running back, and then boom, boom, quarterback. Just so quick. And,
all right.
You know, break down his team, Scott. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it sticks out like a sore thumb, right? You've got two quarterbacks, and we're looking at the draft and go here draft. But we're looking at two quarterbacks taken in the fourth and fifth round. It's a big, big no-no, right? Fantasy Assassins will even say it in the chat room.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to do that in a regular league. You're much less allowed to do it in an 11-man starting lineup league where you have to start an extra flex every week. This is a two-flex league.
Yeah.
Two flex with two running backs, three wide receivers, and a tight end. So you have to start an extra person there. So two quarterbacks, big no-no. Now let's see how they did. Foster, Monty Ball, Bernard. Okay, great three running backs out of the gate. What else are you doing, right? Demaryius Thomas, yeah. Cecil Shorts, DeSean Jackson, Jordan Cameron is your starting tight end. Ryan Broyles, nice sleeper. I like the picks. Tyler Eifert, Fred Davis. I mean, he's got some real high upside guys all the way through 15 rounds. LaMichael James, look, I like that.
Yeah.
The way he went about his business is a little different. He went real high upside guys. I like the selections, actually. But when you see that quarterback like that, you really – one of the high-stakes players called me on the phone the other day and said, you know what, I learned this from one of the better players. And everybody knows this player's name, Sean Childs. He's a very good, well-accomplished, high-stakes player, plays fantasy baseball, writes articles just for the fantasy high-stakes player in mind, and daily games, too. Does a fantastic job on some of the daily game write-ups. And he was talking about the strategy of quarterback drafting when you have one already and noticing that other people are waiting. There's a couple of guys that are waiting for that quarterback, and they're just waiting a 10th, 9th, 10th round. He said, be that guy, or somehow or another, he inferred this as, hey, don't be afraid to take that quarterback in that 10th or 11th round or whatever it is that you're at when you see that somebody's waiting. If you get that last one, you've just eliminated one of your opponents, and it works in those leagues that where you're just having to compete against 11 other people, not in the championship formats where you're competing against hundreds and hundreds of other people, but in the individual leagues when you only have to face 11 other guys. Excuse me. You've crippled a team. You basically crippled a team by taking that second quarterback. So I'm okay with it, but not in the fifth round when it's already Drew Brees.
Yeah, I can see that because he went back to back, and but I'm starting to see these quarterbacks falling, and then they're starting to rise up again. You got guys like Kaepernick and Peyton Manning. I'd be kind of curious to the chat room, which rookie quarterback is gonna fall? I mean, which one is gonna be is gonna spread out and not do the sophomore jinx? I mean,
I see what you're saying. You're saying out of the stud quarterbacks from last year's rookie class, which one is not gonna return to dominance? Is that what you mean? Like
like a Russell Wilson, your Andrew Luck, your RG3. Which one is going to fall and which one can step up? I mean, I'm not talking about drafting position. I'm talking about the results, what we get from them.
Yeah. You know what? Go ahead, chat room. If there's any of those guys that you think are going to fall down this year, definitely put it in the chat room. I don't think any of them are going to fall down. I think they're all excellent quarterbacks. It was a very rare class. You're not seeing that type of class this year. Look, you've got E.J. Manuel and Geno Smith, and, it's a very weak class in comparison to what we saw last year with really what I consider to be real potential superstars in this league for the next 10 years. So we'll see. We do have some questions in the chat room, conversation about, let's see, I want to catch up here. Something about Ryan Broyles I saw earlier. Something about a Ryan Broyles. You know about a Ryan Broyles, right?
Yeah, I know about Ryan Broyles.
Broyles, he tore the ACL at Oklahoma. I really like the kid. And again, he comes into the NFL and he starts to quickly show why the Lions made him a second-round pick, and he finished with, a couple of touchdowns, a couple of 100 yards, and now he tears his other ACL in early December last year, and it brought his season to an end. And the good news that I'm hearing, Broyles, he already seems to have made a lot of progress in his recovery, and he was able to take part in the Lions minicamp in June. Once Broyles is 100% healthy, he'll be expected to serve, as that wide receiver too, or complement to Nate Burleson and Calvin Johnson there. So it's a great opportunity. The problem is injuries, and when you have two injuries like that, it's almost like a Denario Alexander. You love to be able to trust the guy, but after four or five, knee surgeries, what kind of a faith can you have in him? I really like Ryan Broyles. He's a dynasty hold for me. You want to hang on to him. Don't let him go. He's one of those guys that is intriguing, especially in that Stafford offense. Now, Mike, I want to want to stop for a second and post something in the chat room for everybody. This is just a simple list that we put on FF Toolbox. The third-year wide receivers, you know the story, right?
Yep.
Wide receivers, there's a common belief among, you know, the fantasy game that there's a breakout potential in the third year. And I put a link to this list in the chat room, and I'm gonna read off some of the names, and you tell me if they may break out or not in the third year.
Okay.
We've got 32 active wide receivers whose rookie year was 2011. And I'm just going to read the names, and if there's anybody that interests you, you just stop me. Okay, you ready to play? Here we go.
Ready.
Emmanuel Arsenault, Doug Baldwin, John Baldwin, Armin Benz, Vincent Brown, Stephen Burton, Randall Cobb. Well, we know about Randall Cobb. Camden Dodd.
Okay.
Who was it?
Keep going.
Okay.
Randall Cobb.
You didn't mention Vincent Brown. I thought Vincent Brown might get on the radar.
Not so much. Not yet.
Not yet.
Keep going.
They're saying all the right things about Vincent Brown. This is a guy that couldn't be healthy as well, but at the end of the day, this is a guy that could make a big difference for Rivers. Rivers needs something.
Yeah, Rivers needs Rivers. Okay. Keep going.
let me read you what the label is on Vincent Brown, the 2013 outlook at FF Toolbox. Super sleeper, high risk potential. Brown is a super sleeper. We have not seen him on the field in a while, given his severely broken ankle that kept him sidelined all 2012. San Diego's training staff is keeping Brown's return to action slow-paced, but it appears he will be ready for action as camp comes. Reports state that Brown will compete for wideout 2 and 3 positions with Meacham, Floyd, and Keenan Allen. I don't think that's much competition there. Meacham, Floyd, and Keenan Allen. I like Keenan Allen, but not as a rookie. I like Brown's speed. I think he has a shot at the number 3 wide opposition. He could be productive fantasy-wise if provided the right opportunities. And look, you have Denario Alexander. Let me show you where he's been going in some of the expert mock drafts on our website. DLF takes him at 10-8, and he says Brown is a bit of a risky pick. Hold on just a second. Let me finish. This is my little segment here.
Okay.
Brown is a
okay.
bit of a risky pick here, but his upside is undeniable. If he performs even halfway up to his expectations, then grabbing him in the 10th could help my team a lot. BFD Fantasy takes him at 9-11. FF Magic Man takes him at 9-9 and says, Vincent Brown was nothing short of spectacular in his preseason games last year. A broken ankle derailed his season, but he is healthy now. And a new coaching regime will have that Charger offense hitting on cylinders that haven't dusted off in several years. I expect him to be a household name by the time this season is complete. Huh. And finally, from Draft Sharks, who participated in our expert mock draft, they took him at 10-5. So you can see he's going everywhere in around the 9th or 10th round. A broken ankle wiped out Brown's second season, but the whole team gets a restart under the new staff of head coach Mike McCoy. Brown has drawn praise and climbed the depth chart this offseason. The next Denario Alexander injury might be the only thing standing between Brown and San Diego's number one wide receiver spot in 2013. So now, Mike, you gave me that time. I'll give you yours.
Yeah, I don't believe in Vincent Brown. He's been an enigma, so to speak. So I really don't see much happening with him. And it's got to start with Phillip Rivers. It has to start with Phillip Rivers. That team has not been the same because Phillip mm-hmm. Rivers is not he's not a winning quarterback. I mean, I got to see something that's going to tell me this guy wants to win.
Other names on the list that I found intriguing, obviously we said Randall Cobb, that's everybody's breakout. And, you know, when I hear that again, I just want to reach through the TV and grab somebody. I'm like, what are you doing calling Randall Cobb your breakout player? Because he already broke out. Last year he broke out.
Yeah, he's not a breakout player.
Yeah, so here we go. We see Andrew Hawkins here. Leonard Hankerson for Washington. We haven't seen hardly anything of him yet. Julio Jones, he already broke out. Greg Little, been a big disappointment. Keep your eye on Greg Little. Denarius Moore is another name. Joseph Morgan for New Orleans. Austin Pettis gets his shot this year with St. Louis. Cecil Shorts kind of already broke out last year. Then you got Torrey Smith. So Any other names kind of jumping out at you there, Mike?
I like Denarius Moore. I'm kind of looking at this kid. Yeah, mm-hmm. I really am. I mean, he might not be really a, quote, breakout guy, but in my opinion, I mean, he's got speed. He's got speed to burn, and this guy can, you know, if he's put in the right situation, Scott, I really believe that Denarius Moore is going to be, if there's any breakout guy at wideout, that's guy.
Well, look, you know, we know what we got from Denarius Moore last year. If we're expecting him to go above and beyond that, I think I kind of agree with Sean Larrabee, his write-up here from FF Toolbox. He said he caught 51 balls last year and 30 the year before. Don't count on him making the leap this year with ongoing instability at quarterback and on the offensive line. So I think that kind of has to play come into play here. You've got a wide receiver that has the potential because he did move from 30 to 50 catches, right? That's a nice improvement from year one to year two, right? That's great.
Yeah.
And he was serving as kind of the pseudo 1-1A there with Darius Hayward Bay. Now he really gets his chance to shine, but you have uncertainty at the quarterback position. So if you look at the mock drafts that are going on our website right there, he went at 11-11. He went at 9-12. 8-10, 9-12, you know, somewhere around that 8th, 9th round. So I'm not so sure if you can get a third-year breakout. I will read this. It says, Moore can give you a 20-point game, but he can also give you a 4-point game. I think that kind of says Denarius Moore.
You know,
I like him more in Draft Masters.
There's no doubt about it, Scott, you know, he's not going to be your week-in and week-out player that you want to plug in. But the fun thing about, FFWC and what you guys are doing is it's 11-man starting lineup. You know, you got a bunch of flexes. And so he could be it could be a matchup thing to where, you know, it's like, holy cow. I've got the Raiders and such going against what team? And you can plug him in, and it can work out.
Yeah. Bolaf startup in the chat room says, what about Hankerson? Whatever happened to him? And, you know, he's a guy that I can talk about. He's a third-year wide receiver. I drafted him in several of the dynasty leagues. And if you remember, this is the guy that Mel Kiper rated the third-best wide receiver in the 2011 class. I mean, out of this class, but behind only A.J. Green and Julio Jones, he said, hey, 6'2", 210, ran a 4.4 40. At the combine, and just a real physical player, 14 bench reps, all, you know, all this kind of stuff they were talking about him, and terrible injuries, you know, it seemed like he had an injury the first year, a torn labrum, then it was over, the season was over, and then he returned in 2012, and now he had, you know, a new system to learn. So you had two systems in your first 2 years, and injuries to boot. So now you have a shot at, you know, being a little bit more consistent here in this year to see what he can do. He's got the size. He's got the speed. He's there in his third year. It may be his last season to really prove what he's made of. He's going to be watched. We're all going to take a look at him. Garcon is not really always a picture of health. So I think Hankerson is actually right where he needs to be. He just has to make that leap, and there could be a breakout there for Hankerson, especially with a quarterback like RG3 who can just pinpoint it anywhere he wants on the field. I wouldn't give up on it.
You know, Scott,
I
hate to say this, but I think RG3 is going to take a step back this year. Hankerson, I see all of Washington taking a step back. I think RG3 is an incredible player, but I just do not see the production coming out of that team fantasy-wise this year that I did last year.
Yeah. I remember reading something about the Washington read option offense that they had to learn, and it's a very difficult offense for wide receivers to learn. Josh Morgan been in the league a long time, and he said that the system takes time for receivers to master. Because there's so many responsibilities per play for each of the wide receivers, so it takes a while. So you think back to Hankerson, the injury the first year, the second year comes in, he's got this new offensive system. But look, he had a pretty decent year. I mean, 500 yards, a couple of touchdowns. That's better than a lot of the rookies or a lot of the breakouts that we know now, like the Brandon Marshalls. He didn't have that good of a year in his year two. So I'm just saying, I'm not telling you that he's going to be that. But when you have pedigree, like Jonathan Baldwin does, Jonathan Baldwin has pedigree. He's another wide receiver, has pedigree. He just hasn't really looked good at all running routes. You know, that's his problem. But I wouldn't give up on Hankerson, and I wouldn't trade. This is about the time when a shark in your fantasy league trades for Hankerson. You get him as a throw-in. So, like, you're looking at your dynasty trades, and you're going after player A, and somebody's willing to give you player B. And you get him to throw in Hankerson as, like, a flyer, you know, a lot of times because he's just basically worth nothing, and they want to get the deal done, and you stick him in there. And then if they bat an eye or something, you offer him a third-round pick or something to kind of square it up. Look, I want to get a little bit more depth there. That's a kind of a sneaky guy. Any of those third-year guys that have been sitting there not doing much because of all these other reasons, still there's opportunity there, and there's upside. So,
yeah, that's the type of guy that you want to plug in, and it's like, okay, here we go. And just take him and run, and next thing you know, he puts together a ton of fantasy points for you.
Question in the chat room. Hey, Scott, you think Morris going to have 1,600 yards? I don't. Maybe 13. Well,
nope.
It's easy to say what I'm going to think. My rankings are up on FF Toolbox. You can check those out. And we're going to try to keep the title this year. I have look, you do have Shanahan, right? I mean, that's always an issue. Anytime you have that guy, 1,400 yards seems very reasonable for Morris. 1,450 is what I have him projected at, 311 carries. So he's going to have another solid year if you're Alfred Morris. They're talking about him catching the ball better, 4.7 yards per carry. That's pretty impressive for any running back. And if he gets another 300-carry season this far out of the gate, I'm a little skeptical because usually backs just don't come out of nowhere and start 300-carry seasons. I mean, Aaron Foster, right, he's one. But for an unheralded running back to come out with 300 carries on a year, his first year, 330, and then back it up with another 300-carry season, it's a little rare, right? And I don't know if that's because down Mike or what, but you still got Roy Lee there, too, that was a heck of a playmaker.
Scott, you know, there's two ways to think about this. Alfred Morris, he got drafted in the second round on this draft that I'm looking at, and but you have to understand that Washington – the Redskins, as they are now, they're a work in progress, and they're a very good team. They're a very, very good team. You know, you think about what RG3 is doing, spreading the ball around with the wide receivers, and Alfred Morris, I mean, he's not the most electrifying running back in the league, but, man, he can get it done, and he can get it done around the goal line, too. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see him just stay steady in round two. You know, when it comes September, when it's time for the high-stakes leagues.
All right, guys. 13 minutes left in the program. We're going to finish this off with a look at the simulator that we talked about. I'm going to tell you, I'm on the clock right now in the simulator. I just started the draft, Mike, and I'm going to tell you who went in the draft, and you helped me pick this pick the guys here in these rounds. You ready? So Arian Foster is there at the 5 pick. I'm up at number 5, and if you draw the 5 pick, here's what could happen to you. Adrian Peterson is gone, Doug Martin 2, Jamal Charles 3, CJ Spiller 4. So your options are Calvin Johnson, Arian Foster, McCoy, Rice, or Richardson.
Calvin.
All right. See, now I like that. I would go Calvin, too. I would go Calvin. Yep. In the chat room. I'd like to know what you guys would do, but I'm taking Calvin. Now, the simulator keeps going and picking all the players, right? And you have, and I'm going to put a simulator here in the chat room for you guys. You can pick your draft slot. But here we go. I'm going to pick, I'm on the clock at 2-8. And the regulars went. Foster, McCoy, Rice, Richardson, Lynch, Green, Forte, all those guys. Jimmy Graham, Marshall's gone. Steven Jackson, Dez Bryant's gone. Fitzgerald, Alfred Morris, Demaryius Thomas is gone. And now you're on the clock at 2-8. And here's who's there, Mike.
Lamar Miller.
Darren's, Yeah, Lamar Miller's there. Julio Jones is there. Andre Johnson, Roddy White, Randall Cobb, Reggie Bush.
Go up that running back, man. You got to go
I'm not taking Lamar Miller when Julio Jones is there, okay? So let's just end it. But I've got Calvin Johnson. I understand what you're saying. I got to get my running backs, right?
Yep.
I got to get my running backs.
You're going to be stuck with nothing.
I'm going to take my running backs later. I'm going to take Julio Jones because I like the combination of Calvin and Julio. Now, in the third round, the only two running backs that went between me and them is Darren Sproles and Reggie Bush, so I can still get the guy here. And you, I want to tell you, though, that Chris Johnson and MJD are still there at 3-5. Chris Johnson, MJD, Lamar Miller.
If you get Chris Johnson, that's a coup d'etat.
All right, so we'll take Chris Johnson. I don't really like him, but let's go ahead and take him. Some quarterbacks are going, wide receivers are going, a couple more running backs. Darren McFadden, NJD went. Now it's at 4-8. 4-8. I can still get DeMarco Murray or Lamar Miller or Frank Gore.
Well, I'll tell you what, I will take DeMarco Murray right now.
All right. So we got DeMarco Murray, Chris Johnson, Julio, and Calvin right now.
Yeah, Dallas is committed with DeMarco Murray.
I like this team. I like it a lot. Okay.
Whoa, now, sounds good.
Okay, so look, Mobile Hat was saying I should have went Calvin, Bush, MJD, and Murray, so I would have had three running backs. But I have Calvin and Julio, and still two pretty good running backs, Chris Johnson and DeMarco. So I'm feeling pretty good about this team so far. Fifth round is up. I could take let me hide the people that were drafted. Okay. Ooh, then it's David Wilson already still in the fifth because people are, I don't know why at this draft he's falling, but he's falling. I can get David Wilson.
What about Greg
Jennings,
man? What about Greg Jennings, man? I'm loving this guy right now.
You're not serious.
Yeah, I'm very serious. Yes.
No, wow. He's way down on the list, man. He's nowhere to be found, that guy, man. Jeez, I don't even know what to say about that.
Are you sure?
Le'Veon Bell, David Wilson. I'm going to go with David Wilson. I like this. He's my RB3 along with Calvin and Julio. I love this team. By the time I'm done, I've got a winner here. I've got a winner, Mike. Okay, now this is where it gets tough. Here's where teams win or lose, Mike. We have options in the sixth round. Remember, we have three running backs, Chris Johnson, DeMarco Murray, David Wilson. We have Calvin and Julio. We're on to our sixth guy. We're under our sixth guy, and we have to decide between Jeremy Maclin. Seems a little too early for him. James Jones.
Go ahead.
I don't like that.
Why not?
Chris Ivory, Ahmad Bradshaw. I don't really like that. There's Shane Vereen. You know, a lot of people are high on Shane Vereen, right? That's a name that you hear, and everybody's drafting him in the fifth and sixth round, but I've already got three good running backs. I want to get another wide receiver. How about James Jones?
James Jones is your guy, man. I was getting ready to jump in there, Scott. James Jones is your guy. I mean, if Jordy and Randall Cobb aren't getting dumped, James Jones is always good. He's always good for one or two games.
Yeah,
if not more than that.
Impressive. You know, the quarterbacks have actually been going pretty healthy in here. We're already down to quarter. Rodgers went, Brees and Brady in the third. Cam Newton and Peyton Manning in the fourth, Matt Ryan in the fifth, and then Stafford, Griffin, and Russell Wilson went in the sixth, Tony Romo went in the seventh. I can still get Luck or Kaepernick as my quarterback. I think I better get my guy.
It's amazing how that worked out.
Yeah, I think I better take Andrew Luck, man. I'm going to take Andrew Luck.
It's amazing how that works out.
Chris Johnson, DeMarco Murray, David Wilson. My wide receivers are Calvin, Julio, and James Jones. And tight end time. No, you know, the tight ends just aren't there. You know, it's already Vernon Davis is already gone.
What round
were
we talking about, Scott?
We're in the eighth round. Kyle Rudolph's gone. Brandon Myers gone. Eighth round. We need to keep firing away at wide receivers.
Yeah, you can hold off. You can hold off, man. I mean, you're going to get there's plenty of quarterbacks. Wow. Look at these guys left.
Can I take Josh Gordon or T.Y. Hilton? Who would you take, Gordon or T.Y. Hilton?
I would take T.Y. Hilton. That's a safe
Olsen's
play.
Olsen's gone
that's
in the chat room, mobile app. Greg Olsen is gone. I would take Olsen. The best tight ends available are Owen Daniels, Finley, Martellus Bennett. That's really it. The wide receivers are what's intriguing. T.Y. Hilton, Anquan Boldin, Josh Gordon, Lance Moore, Denario Alexander. Any of those guys?
I'm between T.Y. Hilton or Anquan Boldin.
Yeah, Hilton, Gordon, Boldin. This is my number four.
I go
T.Y. Right?
Yeah.
Man,
I go T.Y.
Boldin's going to have a – yeah, I like T.Y. too. So you only get a minute and a half on the clock in Vegas, man. You don't have a lot of time to sit here and contemplate this.
That's right. That's right. We're simulating.
Gordon looked like he was on the verge of being a star. I'm going to go with mobile app startup and you, and I'm going to take T.Y. Hilton. I'm going to go ahead and take T.Y. as my number four.
Yeah. Good call.
Okay, I feel good about that. Good. Yeah, that's my number four. Okay, I like that. T.Y. is my four.
Good
I feel
call.
Good that I can put him in. I've got three good running backs. I've got Andrew Luck.
Yep.
And the top people on the board right now are Kaepernick, Denario Alexander, Kendall Wright, Finley, Bennett, Pede. You know, Pede's supposed to be a player. I'm not spending this high of a pick on Pede. No. You know, I'm hearing good things about Brian Hartline. Everybody's talking about Mike Wallace. There's no chemistry with Tannehill and Wallace right now. Tannehill's throwing to Hartline all day long.
How many running backs you got right now, Scott?
I'm taking Denario Alexander. I think he's pretty solid for my five, right? He could be a really solid guy. I got three running backs. There's Pierre Thomas sitting there.
He's good there. Yeah.
Pierre Thomas? Yeah. I'm going to take another wide receiver. I'm going to take Denario Alexander. I like the fact
Are
that
sure?
I'm only spending a ninth round pick on him.
Well, you got to understand, there's plenty of wide receivers to go around.
Oh, man, I see another wide receiver. That's true. If I had it to do over again, I would have taken Michael Floyd and Pierce. I would have taken Michael Floyd and Bernard Pierce, but that didn't happen. I messed up. Now I'm feeling bad. I'm kicking myself because wide receivers are deep. You're right. They're just so deep.
Yep.
Let me get my tight end. Man, there's so many tight ends. I don't really need to even take – I love all these tight ends. Look, there's Petting Zoo right there. There's Petting Zoo. Give me the Petting Zoo. All right, I took Pettigrew in the 10th. I don't like that pick. Very productive in PPR, though. Okay, 11th round. Bernard Pierce is still there, dude. Bryce Brown is still there. Ben Tate is there. I could, you know, Danny Woodhead's there, man.
Hey, man, if you need a tight end, how about Brandon Myers? Is he gone?
Myers was gone, yes. I looked for him.
Damn.
Nobody's taken Jermichael Finley at all. Nobody's taken Finley. It seems like he's still falls. And this was a guy that, are we all sleeping on? I'm going to take Finley. You know what? I'm going to take him. There's a chance that he finally gets things together with
You'll take
with
him
Robert.
Ahead of Bennett? Is Bennett gone? Martellus Bennett gone?
Bennett.
Okay.
Bennett was gone, yeah. He went one pick right in front of me, yeah. Okay, well, this is the kind of fun. This is the kind of fun you can have when you use the simulator and you can draft your squad. And I sent everybody in the chat room to it. So if you're drafting right now, congratulations. It's fun. Get Paddle wants to know, when's the mock site for $5 deal? Very likely that's going to be launching this weekend, Greg. For $5, you're going to have a chance at a Vegas experience. We're talking penthouse suites at the Mirage. We're talking airfare. We're talking spending cash, you know, $1,000 spending cash and a seat at the main event. So if you've ever been wanting to be on the main event and you never did want to pony up that much money to do it for $5, you know, it's worth a shot. Plus, we have an option.
Yeah.
If you want to up it to $25, if you really like your team, there's a $25 option where you can battle for league prizes. And so you're against league, you're against a little small group of league prizes and you can win a main event seat if you beat the league, mate. So pretty fun.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for being part of Red vs. Blue. Mike, some closing words from you, man.
Hey, man, thanks a lot, Scott, and looking forward to Roto Bowl and everything that FFWC has to offer. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. Go to rotobowl.com. There's still spots available. We've got two spots left in the second Roto Bowl slow draft that's signing up on our message board. Two spots left. Go to rotobowl.com, sign up, and we'll get you in, and you'll be drafting as early as tonight or tomorrow in our 9th annual Roto Bowl. See you guys next week. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.